Hey, this is Trevor. Sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Trevor. Call me back, okay? We got to talk about all things NFL. What a weekend. And Tom Brady, where is he going? I think he may be going back to the Patriots. Real talk. I'll put $5 on it. And what the fuck was Jim Rutherford doing? Being brave, but also being a man full of contradiction, real talk. You can't be doing that in Vancouver, man. For real. I know you the vet. You the champ. But this is Vancouver. Begsy, call me back.
Good morning.
Begsy. What is up? How's it going?
Oh, you know, man. I was thinking about this last night. It's interesting. You know, it was a really good season of NFL football. But all throughout the season, the Monday night game was a bit of a downer. Just didn't really live up to the hype. It was a lot of Patriots, a lot of Cardinals, a lot of shitty games. And then, you know, but this Monday night was supposed to be different. I think Cowboys and Bucks was arguably the most hyped up game of wild card weekend, super wild card weekend. And it was easily the most disappointing game of all of them.
Yeah. I was wrong. Tom Brady wasn't that guy. He wasn't that guy yesterday. And I think it kind of opens up the door for me to have a bit more doubt when talking about Tom Brady moving forward because, age, family, the year that he had this year. And I looked at the stats. I think he still threw for like 4,600 yards, only had 9 picks, 25 touchdowns. Like, it looks good on paper, but that Bucs offense and Tom Brady just looked very, very slow throughout the whole year.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting stat, too. So he said 25 touchdowns. I believe that's the correct number. 14 of those in the regular season came in the fourth quarter. It was just like the Bucs were in oh-shit mode all season long. Just pulled rabbits out of their ass at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, they dug a way too deep of a hole in the game last night to ever emerge from it.
Yeah. It's one of those things. We're going to be talking about it all summer long, and I still don't think he retires, though. He's done with the Bucks. He's done with the Bucks. I think he wants something new. Or is he going back to the Patriots?
Holy. No, I don't think so. I think there's too much bad blood maybe between him and Bill at this point.
One year, you get Tom Brady in there. Belichick can suck it up, right? Suck it up. Let's go after it one more time, and Mac Jones can learn a thing or two.
That's right? Interesting, man. Right? I don't see it happening, but yeah, maybe.
How mad could Mac Jones get? Like, you had 2 years as a starter. Okay, cool. Sit down for 1 year. It's all good. Go watch Tom Brady do his thing, and boom. I don't know. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mac Jones, at this point, he probably wants to be a starter. I don't think he's really happy with Tom Brady coming to town and taking the spotlight, to be honest with you.
Man.
I personally see, and plus it's like Tom Brady's going to be 46 years old to be there next season. Like, are the Patriots, even if they have Tom Brady, are they going to make room for Lombardi? I personally don't think so.
I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. Because, again, you look at those stats, and I know, like, fourth quarter is when he got all of his work done. And Tom Brady, not just the Bucks, was in oh shit mode the whole season. Real talk. But the Patriots, they weren't that great this year, but they showed glimpses of being a good defensive team at points. And Belichick is still, you never know. Okay, then let me ask you, where is Tom Brady going? New York? Is he going to the Jets?
Oh, that would be hilarious, man. Tom Brady going to the Jets and stick it to the pad.
Yeah.
That's a potential option. For me, the team that stands out is Vegas. It just seems like a flashy Tom Brady move. Go live in warm Las Vegas.
True.
Go play for your old offensive coordinator and Josh McDaniel. And you got some weapons around you, obviously, with Waller and Renfro and Devontae Adams. So,
true.
To me, Vegas sticks out as the biggest contender, I guess, to Tom Brady. And that's probably not an uncommon opinion. I think Vegas is really stands out as a top option for him.
And who would have thought going into the year of 2023-2024 in the NFL, months from now, that San Francisco would not be interested in either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady when they had a chance at them because of Brock Purdy. Not Trey Lance. for Brock Purdy. It's cool. It's cool. It's a lot of things going on. And I actually really like Brock Purdy. I think he's just a smart dude. He seems humble. He's dried, right? Play by play. And again, I'll use the word again. He's smart. And it's great. Not just good to be smart when you're playing for the 49ers and Shanahan. Real talk. The 49ers, they may be in a really, really interesting situation where they make a run, either win the Super Bowl, get to the NFC Championship game, and then have to decide on Trey Lance. Real talk.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're sticking with Purdy as the starter from here on out, unless he proves otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he's either going to win the Super Bowl or he's going to have one loss on his record. He's, what, 6-0 right now? So
yeah.
I don't see why you would ride with anyone else other than Purdy at this point. Maybe it's just competition in the training camp. Who knows? Between Lance and Purdy, but I think Purdy's got to have the leg up in San Francisco no matter what. I did hear Luke Wilson last night on TSN say that maybe Tom Brady does go to San Francisco. I know he's from the Bay Area. He grew up a 49ers fan, apparently. But I don't know. I don't really see that one happening either. I think Shanahan's pretty happy with who he has right now in terms of Purdy or maybe his plan.
Yeah, 100%. And it just seems as if, this sounds crazy because we have to see it in the playoffs, obviously, but it seems as if anything a 46-year-old Tom Brady can do, I don't know. I feel like Brock can kind of do that too, especially if he's surrounded by superstars like Kittle and McCaffrey and Debo and that strong defense. I don't know. I just feel as if that might be too big of a move to bring into that system and whatever they're building in San Fran. But here I am, okay, doubting the GOAT. Real talk. Did anything really, really surprise you? I guess a better question is, what team looks stronger or has a better chance to win the Super Bowl based on what they did in the Super Wild Card weekend?
That's a great question. I actually have more doubts about both the Bills and Bengals. I think both those teams are obviously Super Bowl contenders, but I would have liked to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting, right? One of those teams is going to go on to the NFC Championship, right? But I look at the Cowboys as well. I'm not picking them against San Fran, but they did impress me against the Bucs. It was a bad Bucs team, but then again, I think most people saw that as a close game, and the Cowboys dominated on both sides of the football. The Cowboys definitely impressed me. Probably surprised me, impressed me the most over Super Wild Card weekend. But yeah, I just don't think it's enough to beat the 49ers.
Yeah, 100%. And I can't believe we're in minute seven of our conversation, and we didn't bring up or start off Jim Rutherford and that conference yesterday. That was a little memorable because a lot of things were said and a lot of feelings were felt throughout the 45 minutes, and everything from how the organization is being run with their medical staff to what Jim Benning left Jim Rutherford and how he's now deeming this mission impossible pretty much, and everything to do with Bo Horvat and Kuzmenko. And there's a lot on the table, but the biggest thing that came out to me was the wording again, and using the word retool again in this market. And maybe, just maybe, I think you and I talked about this a little yesterday as well. Like, maybe we have to give someone like Jim Rutherford and Alvin the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they can retool better than Jim Benning did, way better than Jim Benning did. And maybe they can capitalize on their professional scouting and make sure their play acquisition actually turns out to be not just above average, but very, very useful and turn this thing around. But damn, I just hate that word. I hate that word being used within an organization that has been bad for a decade. Like, that's a long time to think that you can just keep doing the same things. And a part of me wishes that even if they felt like they could retool, maybe not use that word to the public and just, you know, use stronger wordage or sayings like tear it down and a reset. Anywho, it was a little emotional for me. Real talk, man. It was a lot.
Of course it was emotional, man. We have PTSD. Canucks fans in this market have fucking PTSD with the way everything's gone over the past 10 years. I was thinking a bit more about Rutherford's comment yesterday about retooling, and one team I thought of was the good old Boston Bruins. I mean, you want to look at a team that is not really drafted all that well, but has still managed to be a contender. It's been the Boston Bruins, and they've done it through, I'd rather mention it, having cap space, you know, signing key players to favorable, and then using that cap space to improve your team. I mean, you look at Linus Ullmark right now, signed in free agency. He's the front runner for the Vezina right now. Last season at the deadline, they were able to take on Hampus Lindholm and his big contract. Mm-hmm. And he's been an absolute rock for that defense. And Boston hasn't been that good in the draft. That trade to Dougie Hamilton, where they got, two first-rounders in the second or something like that? I mean, they whiffed on pretty much all those picks, except for maybe Jake DeBrusk, but mm-hmm. they whiffed on two first-round picks, and they're still in a good spot. So I think the Boston Bruins are an example of a team that, even though they haven't drafted all that well, they have done a good job of scouting talent in the NHL. And, you know, they've managed to stay competitive for the past 10 to 15 years. So I think that's what you like to see the Canucks do, is be more like the Boston Bruins.
Wow.
Yeah, that hurt, didn't it?
Don't we all kind of sort of wish that would be the case? One thing I would argue you with regarding that statement is the culture is different there, you know, where even if the drafting is not good, or even if they acquire players, I feel as if players just walk into that dressing room and just get a +5 boost, you know, because the culture is different. It's good being a Boston Bruin. They have the right leadership, and you can kind of patch up some holes / rise people up, again, based on the culture you built, whereas the Canucks culture, it's so destroyed. It's so destroyed, bro. It's a losing environment. Like, don't, come on, guys. Like, let's not fucking kid ourselves. It's the Oilers. It's the Oilers before McDavid. Now, I'm not saying the Oilers have fucking done everything with McDavid and Draisaitl, blah, blah, blah. They still got problems too, but it's just that thing where you just kind of believe in the same group of players to get it done, but that dressing room is not the place where you just bring in new players and see something turn, because shit, it's just not working. And I think we are going to see a good haul, like a good change in the dressing room based on, again, they're going to lose their captain. They're going to lose their captain, and maybe that will change a lot of things over. I'm not saying Horvat's the problem. He's the furthest thing from the problem, but sometimes a change like that sparks something else, and somebody else can rise up and maybe be the leader of the culture moving forward. There's so many holes with the Canucks, and yesterday, I'm not going to say it was a dark day. It was just confusing. It was really confusing, but I will say I do kind of respect how honest Rutherford was, and it's like he was like really confident about his honesty. When Benning was saying all the bullshit that he was saying, you can kind of tell that this guy was fearful of even what he was saying. Like, he wasn't that confident in what he was doing. But Rutherford, he's kind of snarky, but he also seems super, I don't give a fuck, I'm gonna get this done, just watch me. So I'll give him that. It's like, I got a lot more patience, okay? I still got patience in this group.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it patience for me, but I see where you're coming from. Like, yeah. When you listen to Rutherford talk, you have more confidence in him than you ever did Jim Benning, but that's pretty...
that's a little
fucking far. Jesus. But you talked about it being a confusing day, and it was a confusing day, because Rutherford had a lot of contradicting statements.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How can you say that this roster needs major surgery, but, oh, we only need to just retool and, oh, the core isn't the problem. Like, you can't say both of those things and have them both be true. You can't say the core is not the problem and say this team needs major surgery. That those statements don't make any fucking sense when they're put together.
Do you, yesterday was just so bizarre, because do you think there was this chance, like, I wasn't really tapped in, but do you think there's a chance that he was just planning on addressing the Pearson stuff and the injury stuff and the medical staff, but he just, like, fuck it, I'm here, I might as well just dish the heat out, and that's what kind of opened the door up for all those contradicting statements. Like, he wasn't able to be really clear, because you're 100% right. This guy was all over the place, you know, saying major surgery and then retooling. It doesn't make any sense. Like, do you think he kind of just did that through improv yesterday? Or what's it
saying? I think there's an element of truth to what you're saying. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, like, unless you got, like, a press release or something saying, like, no, he's going to talk to the media about other things. But I just felt as if it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I think I should talk right now to the people. I think I should address this. And, yeah, it just seemed weird.
Yeah, I think there's an element of truth in the sense that he didn't maybe prepare or, you know, overly prepare what he was going to say. But Rutherford wasn't born yesterday. He knew that those questions were coming.
Yeah.
And I think he just answered them honestly. I think he's all over the place because he's in a fucking pickle with this team. And he used the word pickle as well. I think he used that with Bo Horvat specifically. But, yeah, I don't think he was just saying, like, in the moment, like, oh, I'm just going to answer these questions. He knew what was coming today.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, go spend some time with your fucking wife. You know what? Tomorrow we're going to break down how the Vancouver Canucks are actually the Vancouver Pickles, man. The Vancouver Pickles, man. The Vancouver
Change
Pickles.
Change the jersey. Change free the pickle.
Yeah, free the pickle, dude. Peace. Peace.
All right, peace, bro.